Every day, men, women, and children are pitching in with household chores. But what if you tallied up that number of hours you spend doing your chores, and then you paid yourself the going rate for that job duty? How much money would you think you'd make? One website, Insure.com, does just that every year right before Father's Day to give their so-called Father's Day Index, and that they take traditionally fatherly tasks like barbecuing, coaching Little League, maybe moving furniture, fixing leaky pipes. And then they use wage data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So dads this year, they say, would earn $23,000 for their work. It's higher than last year. Later in the segment, we'll be hearing one man's story about receiving a letter from his father that expressed his emotions about their relationship. But first, the Father's Day Index and new roles for dads. And joining us now is Tara Hurt, assistant professor in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies at Iowa State University. She's worked in research to lead efforts to strengthen marital and family relationships, and she teaches courses on family communication and relationships, and she joins us at the IPR studio in Ames. Tara Hurt, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for the invitation.
Of course. Well, we want to talk about this Father's Day Index, but first, can we kind of evaluate it a little bit? Of course, this website, Insure.com, wants people to buy life insurance, and so maybe they're a bit biased, but is there any value to this sort of exercise?
Well, I think it's certainly thought-provoking to consider the range of activities that we might, rely upon men and fathers in our families to assist us with. They certainly outlined a range of concrete activities: moving, cooking, driving, coaching, fixing things. But certainly it begs the question of what about the abstract and those things that we need fathers and mothers, for that matter, to do: protection, security, counseling, guiding, mentoring, imparting values, building character, those kinds of things that you can't put a value on. And so, you know, to their point, they're trying to sell a product and trying to market that and how much life insurance you might need to cover those things. But I do think it kind of underestimates, when it comes down to it, the value that fathers have, particularly if they are in the home, in providing support for families.
That's right. And really, going back to those things you listed about, you know, imparting values and things, those are hard to assign a gender role, really, for the idea of raising children.
Absolutely.
And can we look at this list now and talk about those gender roles a bit? And, you know, I guess, why do we call these fatherly tasks, you know, moving furniture and barbecuing? Why is it that we have these stereotypes about that the dad goes and barbecues, the mom bakes, if that's what we think?
Yeah, these are long values that are culturally defined, and certainly our culture feels one way about it, but certainly you visit other cultures and, you know, very different expectations for the genders. And so goes back to, you know, all the things that we would say typically on the outside, fathers take care of the home, mothers or women take care of on the inside of the home. So baking, that's on the inside. Barbecuing should be on the outside. And moving, that requires some physical labor. And so gendered expectations around, you know, something of significant weight needs to be moved, we should, you know, perhaps ask a male to assist with that, more physical stature with more men typically than women. So, again, very heavily laden socialization based on our cultural values, which may or may not be reflected in other nations and certainly other parts of the world.
So it sounds like you're saying that there might be advantages to, you know, say, like you're saying, moving furniture, maybe a man might be better at moving that. But are there more advantages to assigning these gender roles?
Well, I don't know if they're broad advantages. I think it's to the benefit of couples and families to negotiate, you know, who's going to be the best person to tackle each individual task. And I think that's one of the major shifts that we've seen in families is we've kind of gotten away, specifically in my generation, the 30 and up generation, we've gotten away from who's responsible for what. Increasingly, younger generations, you have to negotiate that. It's much less scripted. And, you know, there is, you know, some opportunity to craft that. Unfortunately, that does create some challenges with communication if you are just coming at it with an expectation. I didn't know you want me to do that. Well, you know, that's a woman thing to do or a man thing to do. But, you know, I think we're moving away from those kind of more gendered assignments, if you will, to more thinking of who's most available to do this and who's the best person to kind of step up and complete the task for the household.
In light of Father's Day, we're talking about the role of fathers. My guest is Tara Hurt, assistant professor in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies at Iowa State University. Well, in 2012, 189,000 stay-at-home dads were listed by the U.S. Census Bureau. 189,000 stay-at-home dads. It's far fewer than stay-at-home moms. But still, that's doubled in the last decade. And Tara Hurt, I wonder, we have heard that more women are finding themselves in the role of the breadwinner, so to speak, of the family. How has that changed family dynamics?
Yeah, I think that's definitely created some interesting challenges for families. We certainly have seen progress with women's employment, though we still have issues with inequality between men and women's wages. But more and more women are getting out there and are serving as breadwinners in families. And couples are saying, you know, as we weigh the cost and benefits, what's going to be the best arrangement for our families? And so many men deciding to stay on the home front and raise their children, and happily so. An active choice, though sometimes those arrangements are perhaps a function of circumstance. So I think you see a change in individuals organizing families, in part reflective of what's happening in our economy, but also the way in which gender roles are changing. And that's no longer necessarily has to be a woman's issue to specialize in the home and ensure that young children or older children are taken care of if they can afford that. It's still a privilege to have one parent stay at home and one parent then specialize in the workplace. So I think increasingly couples are looking at in terms of a cost and rewards, more of an economic model, what's going to be best for our families in the long run.
And so I think you're hinting at it, but so do we know that it's generally better for if the option is there for one parent or the other to stay at home with a small child or a child as they're growing up as opposed to other options like daycare?
Well, I can't really speak to that, you know, that body of research. But what I can say is what's really key for kids is consistency. And if that means that a parent is able to provide that by staying at home, then that's really key. Certainly providing things at home and in an educational environment to, you know, approximate what they might get in a daycare facility or a learning center might be key. Certainly it reduces, you know, the likelihood that they might be exposed to certain illnesses or those kinds of things that are naturally going to happen when you have a lot of young children coming together. But yet there's still a benefit of sending, you know, children to a daycare facility in terms of social skills and those kinds of things. While dads may still, you know, take the lead in caring for children during the day, they're very active in play groups and other groups to try and build those social skills in their children. So again, parents identifying what's going to work best for them and economically, you know, how they can best support their families.
And so when a man, a father, chooses or finds himself in the situation where they are the stay-at-home parent, are there expectations that we have as a culture, as a society, that might affect them in that role?
Well, sure. Societal expectations are key, and other people feeling like they just haven't found a job, so let me give you some leads for a job, or don't you feel bad about using your wife's money? Well, would people say that if the tables were turned? And so sometimes other people, perhaps unintentionally, sometimes intentionally, can, you know, put their own expectations on the situation. And I think a couple has to be very, very secure in that arrangement, recognizing it kind of doesn't fit the model for a lot of people. On the flip side, you know, it's a choice. And what a beautiful choice it is. I don't know a lot of families that can say that we have the privilege of one parent really specializing at home. It's hard to make ends meet these days. And if you can do that, I think why not celebrate the beauty in that and having that consistency and having that time with your children for as long as you can. In the end, I think it's about finding a balance and, you know, ensuring that couples just find an arrangement that works well for them.
Well, a lot of your research and some of your work, Tara Hurt, is relating to the family communication. Do you have any advice for improved family communication in a family where these situations might be changing or might be a new setup, new roles for the parents? How should they go about making sure everyone's on the same page?
Sure. I think anytime couples are coming together on issues, it's important for them to sit down one-on-one without anyone else in that environment and set out what are our goals, what are our couple goals, what are our individual goals. And then thirdly, what are our expectations? And a lot of times you can get into those issues that may rub, if you will, when you talk about goals on a couple level and individual level and expectations. So then when perhaps you experience other things from the outside, individuals commenting on he just doesn't have a job or what have you, then you can say, well, that wasn't in line with our expectations, or that particular comment doesn't really fit where we want to move as a couple, or doesn't really fit with our individual goals. It's much easier to address those issues if you've had a shared understanding, if you will, as a couple, and are very clear and are finding a solution that really works well for you both. Those challenges from the outside are much better managed on the inside as a couple when those types of steps have been taken.
And briefly, Tara Hurt, before we end our conversation today, again, it is Father's Day coming up this Sunday. And in your role as working at Iowa State University at the Department of Human Development and Family Studies, I wonder if you'd be willing to share any story about your own father and how that might have influenced who you are today.
Sure. My father is a wonderful, wonderful man, James Hurt out there in South Bend, Indiana, and he was a part of my life throughout my life. My parents are still married. They'll celebrate their 40th anniversary in August. My dad is one that didn't really, get excited a lot. He taught a lot by the life that he lived and stories that he shared, and very much has been a consistent and a powerful impact on my life, and not only my life, but my brother's life, and want to send out a special happy Father's Day to him. He was a wonderful father, and I think he would say, I'm still working at being a great father each and every day.
Tara Hurt, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Tara Hurt is an assistant professor in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies at Iowa State University. She's worked in research to lead efforts to strengthen marital and family relationships, and she teaches courses on family communication and relationships. She joined us at our IPR studio in Ames. Well, how often do you send a handwritten letter? How often do you express yourself in a methodical way? Not the short and quick world of emails and text or the informality of phone calls. Well, we're continuing our look at Father's Day today on River to River, now with one man's story involving the idea of dads expressing themselves in writing to their kids. Lance Looney is a former Iowan. He's co-author of a series of I Like books that are aimed at making family communication a common practice. He now lives in Austin, Texas, where he joins us over the phone. Lance Looney, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, we want to have you talk about your experience. You grew up in Postville. You attended University of Northern Iowa. And when you were in high school, you had an experience where you were getting ready for a long bus trip and your dad handed you a letter. So we want to have you talk through that experience. But before we get to that point, give us some context. What was your relationship with your dad leading up to that moment?
Yeah, I grew up on a farm in northeast Iowa, and as most people listening probably understand, farm life is a little bit challenging sometimes. So one of the main areas of my life was centered around my dad early in the mornings and late at night, and so we got to know each other very well, and we just had a great relationship. He was always there for me, and he was always very involved and active in my life, and it just was a great way to grow up.
bring us to that moment then. You were getting ready for a long bus trip from I guess Postville to Des Moines. What was the trip?
We were planning the state basketball tournament, and it's a really big deal for any small town, specifically for Postville, because we're a big basketball community. And one of the most amazing things happened right before I boarded the bus. It's about a 4-hour bus ride to Des Moines, and Des Moines is obviously to a Postville person, it's a very big city, and so we're all excited. And right before I jumped on the bus, my dad, he's very good at verbal communication, but he gave me a letter, and it was an amazing thing when I looked at it, and tears are kind of welling up in his eyes, and he had written down what he had thought of me and told me not to read it until I get on the bus.
Are you willing to share a little bit about what was in that letter?
Yeah, and so I'm on the bus, and it's kind of taken me by surprise because he's always been very very good at verbal acknowledgments of anything in my life and my sister's as well. But I looked at this letter, and it was a single-page letter written from him in his own handwriting, and it was all about the things that he thought of me, all of the positive things. He liked my kindness and my gentleness, and he liked just the young man I was becoming. I was a sophomore in high school, and I'm with a lot of upperclassmen at this time. So I'm looking at this letter, and all of a sudden, everything that he's kind of ever spoken to me in my life, all of a sudden, because it was written down, became real, concrete, and more, just much more alive. It was an amazing experience.
What do you know about why your dad decided to give you that letter?
That's a good question. The way that I understood it from him is his dad did it to him back in high school for him as well, and I just think that it made a lasting impression for him, and he wanted to pay it forward with me as well.
Wow, so it's a bit of a family tradition, and I know that you have two young sons. Is this something you're looking forward to doing?
Absolutely, and you know, I think one of the things that I looked at when I had that, and I still have the letter, in fact, and that's quite a while ago, is the power of the words spoken about me. You know, it creates a lasting impact, and you know, as a result, I'm much more active in my children's life with written words as well.
Again, we're talking with Lance Looney. He's a former Iowan and co-author of a series of I Like books aimed at making family communication easier, making it common, and sharing some of his personal experience. And this experience you had, Lance Looney, in high school led you down a career path, I guess, looking at these books and creating, I guess, a system of trying to aid parents and families to communicate.
Yeah, one of the things that happened to me was I started looking at communication differently. There really is so much power in what we say. And so as a result, we've created these series of books designed to bring back authentic communication. I was starting to get in the trap of instant communication with all the technology, as wonderful as it is. But it pulls away from somebody saying something nice to another person in the handwritten format. And I think that's kind of where I believe is where so many people can benefit, is just by saying something nice to another person in a specific type of format.
Lance Looney, why don't you give us some suggestions, if you would, for dads that might be interested in trying to write to their kids. How do they start?
Well, I think one of the things that in the books that we've created, one of the formats we've kept in mind, they are created by a dad, by myself. So I understand that I don't want to write 5 pages. I'm busy. I don't have a lot of time to write. So what we've done is we've created a specific type of place for it to be short and simple. And I think that's the biggest thing. Whether it's going to be a note you leave your wife or your mom or your daughter, anywhere around the house or the car, if it's just a short, simple, sincere note is pretty much the best way to get started.
Okay, well, before we end our talk today, I know you're living in Austin, Texas now with your family. You grew up in Iowa. I know you've lived in other parts of the Midwest and in Colorado. I wonder if you can compare for us briefly, are there things about the Midwest or other parts of the country that draw out certain parts of people's personalities that might make it easier or harder for dads in particular to communicate?
One of the things that I've recognized living around and traveling around to different parts of the country is one of the goals or one of the objectives that I feel is important is to kind of have a common thread as dads. And that common thread is, for me, to be able to create a long lifetime relationship with my children. And so one of the things that I think is, as dads, they have a very difficult time because we're so time-stressed. And I'm thinking of people that I grew up with and, you know, how it's much more traditional and there's such an honor in that. And they don't want to switch away from how they've been doing things for the last however long. I guess the way that I would say it is this. You know, I think dads everywhere, you know, they want to do the right thing and they want to create an environment for their children so that they can have a lifelong bond with them. And in certain areas, you know, it's much more generations. And so sometimes it may not look like it's as appealing as it should be to be able to say nice things. And it's probably more important than ever with all of the bullying and everything that goes on in schools for us dads to be actively involved in our children's lives. And one of the simplest and quickest and easiest ways is to just write something to them, to your children, that says how much they mean to you.
And do you think that your father expressed that to you?
Absolutely. And I can say with just such a great gratitude for my dad and on this Father's Day weekend, how much of a blessing he's been in my life. And, it's probably not by happenstance that we have a great relationship to this day. And we speak, three or four times a week on the phone. And it's just a great relationship.
Well, Lance Looney, thanks so much for talking to us. Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, happy Father's Day. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Lance Looney is a former Iowan, co-author of a series of I Like books aimed at making family communication a common practice. He lives in Austin, Texas, where he lives with his wife and two sons. And he joined us over the phone. And that's it for our program today. River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury and Sarah Bowden. Technical support today from Dennis Reese and Jason Burns. The executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Stanton, in for Ben Kiefer, who will be back in this studio on Monday. Thanks for joining us.